Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmuduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, tonight is the 27th of February in the year 2018. And inshallah, for the next few sessions, to once again take a glimpse into the greatness of our exalted and unparalleled, majestic, sublime Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the ways to show gratitude is to reflect upon the blessings that he subhanahu wa ta'ala has graciously bestowed upon us. So let's look at a few of these blessings that we use on a daily basis. The first are the gods of every morsel, the gods. When we take up any morsel of food to eat, our fingers first test the temperature. So isn't that true? So there's the first god. If it's too hot, too cold, your hand is the first god. Protection from consuming something that would harm you. When it passes to the eyes, we see whether it has anything harmful on it. So the second god is the sight. The hand, you bypass this, then the sight. It then passes by the nose, which smells whether it is fine or putrid. So if it gets past the second god, the third god now activates. And sometimes you smell something, it looks fantastic, but you realize it's off. When it then enters the mouth, the tongue again tests the temperature and then tastes whether it has gone bad. So it combines two, the skin and the smell. But now this is the fourth or the fifth god. It is only after all these tests that the morsel proceeds to the stomach in a sound state. Such is the perfect design of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So think about that. And because we don't even reflect, when I'm mentioning it, you realize it's absolutely true. I didn't even realize they were gods. So imagine those gods weren't there. You're putting things straight into your mouth without any protection. And Allah gave you no protection. How difficult would your life become? Or if one of the gods wasn't there. For example, this one of your senses goes. Note the difficulty. And this is why in the glorious Quran, in Surah Mulk, Surah 67, verse 23, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Say, it is He subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created you and made for you the faculties of hearing, sight, feeling and understanding. Little thanks do you give. Subhanallah. So in this blessed surah, which we should recite every night, protects you from the tribulations of the grave, Surah Mulk, one of the glorious verses talks about these blessings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He created you, He gave you the faculties of hearing. Then He mentions sight, then He mentions feeling and understanding. But then He says, little thanks do you give. Meaning, if you're not even articulating these blessings, then where is the gratitude for these blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The other thing which is worth mentioning is the order that Allah ta'ala gives of these blessings. He mentions hearing always first when discussing the creation. And this is absolutely sound scientifically, because the organ of the hearing develops first, then sight comes after. So even in the sequence, Allah ta'ala is giving you the correct chronological order. And finally, understanding, i.e. the function. Another immense blessing that we've traveled through, and it's the creation of mankind in complete darkness. So why are we created in darkness? The factory, i.e. in inverted commas, within which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the best of His creation, is one that is tiny, and where there is absolutely no light and no labels. So somebody goes, where were you created? Because my mother's womb. Because is it completely dark in there? Yes. Any laborers in there? No. Right? So you, let me get this straight. You're created in complete darkness where there's no light or laborers. Have you ever reflected upon that? In fact, the human is created in this tiny womb, engulfed in three layers of darkness. On the other hand, fig trees of this world span several acres. And what do they need? They need the brightest lights. They need to employ many laborers to get the product manufactured. Subhanallah, with his tremendous might and power, Allah the Almighty and Glorious needs none of this to manufacture a product far superior to anything that man can ever think of making. So what does it say in the Quran? In Surah Az-Zumr, Surah 39, verse 6, our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلَقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَهُ الْمُلْكِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَأَنَّا تُصْرَفُونَ. He created you in the wombs of your mothers, in stages, one after another, in three veils of darkness. Such is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord and Cherisher. To him belongs all dominion. There is no God but he. Then how have you turned away? Subhanallah. So in this glorious verse, this being referred to, your creation in darkness. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, you were created in the wombs of your mother in stages. Look how interesting. And the scholars look into this word stage. And they state, obviously, it refers to the embryological stages. But man also travels through the stages of life. And also, it's determined whether he's blessed or wretched. So all of these are referring to the stages. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in three veils of darkness. Again, embryology. Embryologists will tell you this is absolutely correct. You are indeed formed in three layers of darkness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. Such is Allah, your Lord and Cherisher. To him belongs all dominion. How then have you turned away? Indeed, nobody can compare to him. And our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala has given one and all the following magnificent promise deserving of his majesty and greatness. What promise? In Hakim, it is Mustadrak, number 7676, Sahih. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, relates that the Almighty and Glorious himself says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, I shall forgive the person who is convinced that I have the power to forgive him as long as he does not ascribe partners to me. Subhanallah. I shall forgive the person who is convinced that I have the power to forgive him as long as he does not ascribe partners to me. So how generous is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are convinced I have the power to forgive. Now, why is this an amazing statement? Because there's nobody else who could forgive your sins. The way that Allah Ta'ala is saying it, as if you got other avenues. Who else is going to forgive your sins? Mirza. Right? Nobody can forgive your sins. And that's why that phrase is mentioned in many of the dhikr, which people tape record. La yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. How many times have you heard that phrase? La yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. What does it mean? Nobody can forgive sins except you. Allah Ta'ala is reiterating this in these famous dhikrs. So if Allah Ta'ala could have made it difficult, he could have said, right, I'm the only one who can forgive sins, and for you to secure the forgiveness of your sins, X, Y, and Z. Imagine if it was difficult. So what does he say? Look at his mercy. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. I shall forgive the person who is convinced that I have the power to forgive him. And as long as he doesn't commit shirk, that's it. You can put another 15 conditions on if you want. Allah Ta'ala hasn't put those conditions on. So think about that. So know this is his supreme generosity, kindness and mercy. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet people commit shirk. people go to others to seek forgiveness of their sins. Imagine. You know, you go to Catholics and they goes, yeah, Mary, Maryam can forgive your sins. You go to so-called Muslims, peers are forgive my sins. You go to certain parts of the Muslim world and they say this. It's obviously complete jahiliyyah. They goes, if you pay this peer a certain amount, he will take all your sins off you. Imagine. And people pay, you know, money making scheme. They go to a peer, there you go, man. Sheikh goes, wipe out son. I'll take your sins. He can't even sow himself out, right? How's he going to sow you out? Did the messenger of Allah say, I can forgive sins? So Allah is sins. So who is he? Right? So note the conditions. And again, this is the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he forgives, how does he forgive? In Tirmidhi number 3248, Hassan Gharib. Ahmad in his Musnad number 27640. Baghawi in his Sharh Sunnah. Mishkat number 2348. Sayyidah Asma bin Yazid radiyallahu anha, she relates. I heard the Holy Prophet once reciting the following verse, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Az-Zumr, Surah 39, verse 53. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Say, O my servants, who have transgressed against their own souls, despair not of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. After reciting this magnificent verse, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added, and he does not care. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not care. So let's look at this. So the verse by itself, according to many of the salaf, is the most comforting verse of the glorious Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what greater comfort can you have than this verse? O my servants who have transgressed against their souls. Now look how strange. When you sin, you're harming yourself. This is a mental illness. Somebody goes, self-harm. Who did they take you to? When you self-harm yourself, you go to a psychiatrist. Yet, when you sin, you're doing exactly the same thing. So the Quran is reiterating, you're transgressing against yourself. You're not benefiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by avoiding sin. You're not increasing His greatness by doing good deeds. You have to get this mindset. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not despair of my mercy. I forgive all sins. Now how great is it to despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of magnitude? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companion, Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu, he recited a verse in Surah Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, do not with your own hands throw yourselves into destruction. Do not with your own hands throw yourself into destruction. Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu said, this means that you commit a sin and then you say, Allah Ta'ala will not forgive me. This is in Tabarani, Hasan Hadith. So let's look at this. What does the Quran say? Do not with your own hands throw yourselves into destruction. Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu said that this means that you commit a sin. Look how interesting. You've sinned. But then you follow it up with something far greater than the sin. You say, Allah Ta'ala is not going to forgive me. Meaning you've despaired. That is what the Quran says. You are throwing yourself into destruction. So look how interesting. Think of any sin, apart from shirk. What's greater than that? What's worse than that sin is to follow it up and say, I'm not going to be forgiven. Think about that. Why? Because now you're entering into the divine. It's a type of kufr, if you think about that. Allah Ta'ala is the one who describes himself. You don't limit him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this doesn't mean that you become insolent in sin. What it means is you should feel ashamed. So here Allah Ta'ala says the same. Despair not of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He forgives all sins. But then the Prophet added something very interesting. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He does not care. Now why? What does that mean? You go to the Christians. If only they understood that one sentence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they'll stop their shirk. You ask them, how do we secure salvation? Because you can't. They go, okay, how, why can't we? He goes, because you can't, you're incapable of securing salvation. God has to come down and kill himself, shed his own blood, and then through that, you'll secure salvation. So then you say, look, let's leave aside all the theological arguments. You simply say this, so God, according to your, God subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's put a great restriction on forgiveness. They even say, you can fast as much as you want, you can pray as much as you want, you can, and look how they belittle in good deeds, you can give as much sadaqah, you are still going to hell. Look how they've restricted the mercy of Allah, except. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he does not care. And if they read the book of James in their Bible, what does it say? Right? And the book of James mentions the same principle. Right? So that's your homework. In another report it mentions, in Ahmad in his Musnad 5-275, Bayhaqi Mishkat number 2360, Sayyidina Thawban radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would not give this verse for the whole world. And he recited the same verse. Surah 39 verse 53. A person then queried, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does it benefit the polytheists? So alhamdulillah, the verse incorporates the Muslims. Allah Ta'ala will forgive all sins. He doesn't care. But does this verse incorporate even the kuffar, the polytheists? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he remained silent for some time. He thereupon elucidated three times. Behold, yes, even the polytheists. Behold, yes, even the polytheists. Behold, yes, even the polytheists. Allahu Akbar. So let's look at this. So alhamdulillah, from our perspective as believers, what an incredible verse. The Prophet himself said, I wouldn't give the whole world for this verse. So a sahaba asked, what about the kuffar? Does that verse apply to them, Ya Rasulullah? Meaning, they're in unbelief. Surely the verse maybe can't apply to them because they're in unbelief. The Prophet remained silent, meaning he was receiving revelation. And then he says, yes. It applies to the unbelievers as well. Question, how? Don't know. So imagine somebody quotes that verse. He goes, oh, is it, you know, Camp Islam again? He goes, what do you mean Camp Islam? You Muslims get everything and we're going to go to hell. And he said, well, you know, there's a verse I'd like to mention to your Jack, John, Bill, Bob. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh my servants, you're a servant, I'm a servant, who have transgressed against their own souls, despair not of the mercy of Allah. He forgives all sins. That also incorporates your. Our Prophet said it. Straight away, you're giving dawah to a person. So the Lord said, look how interesting. The Prophet is telling you something there. He goes, tell them this. Meaning you're also incorporated. So how is one of the ways to understand this? One of the ways to understand this is that the unbelievers do good deeds. And their good deeds do not go to waste. They unlock them if they embrace Islam. So where's the mercy? The mercy, Allah Ta'ala doesn't destroy the deeds. He doesn't say they're in a state of kufr. Nothing's happening. I'm not accepting nothing. That's your version of Islam. Allah Ta'ala is recording it. There's the mercy. Even though they're going, Christ is Son of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This, that, and the other, monkey's God. They're recording it. Right? Allah Ta'ala is recording. That's His mercy. Do not despair of my mercy. But when they embrace Islam, Allah Ta'ala says, now, there it is. This is my first gift to you for coming back to understanding. Look at the beauty and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said about this verse, radiyallahu anhu, in Tabarani and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, this verse in the Quran brings the most relief. Surah 39, verse 53. So now, think about that. How many times do you feel grief? So a person goes, well, if somebody's upset me, I'm going to feel grief. Correct. But do you also feel grief? Sometimes you can't explain it. And the person thinks, he goes, yes. Sometimes I just feel down and I can't even understand why I'm feeling down. Why is that then? And the person goes, I don't know, just feel low. Must be a reason. And he goes, this is the reason. In Bayhaqi, it is Shu'ab al-Iman, number 6774. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a person feels embarrassed about an act or sin that he has committed, then this by itself will suffice to secure his forgiveness for the sin. This is the first thing the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You commit a sin and you feel embarrassed. That is enough to secure the forgiveness of the sin. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even grief, if there's nothing to secure the forgiveness of your sins, Allah Ta'ala takes away your sins through grief. There's the reason. Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive you. Imagine you're doing nothing. Allah Ta'ala then said, I still want to forgive him. Just make him feel low. So he feels a bit of grief. Allah Ta'ala is wiping his sins out. That's the great kindness and mercy of Allah the Almighty and Glorious, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And this is why this report sums up the whole matter. In Kanzul Umar, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person who turns his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill his every need. And he will receive sustenance from avenues that he would never think of. Subhanallah. The person who turns his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill his every need. And he will receive sustenance from avenues he could never think of. Meaning, if you turn wholeheartedly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala is promising you, I will not only secure your hereafter, I will secure your dunya in a most unusual way. Think about that. That's the mercy and kindness of Allah the Almighty and Glorious. But this is why the word tawbah, what does tawbah mean? Anybody got a clue, right? What does tawbah mean? Forgiveness. Tawbah means to do a complete U-turn. Literally, that's what it means. Right? But people say it means repentance. It doesn't mean repentance. Right? The word tawbah means complete U-turn. So a person goes, well, why is that word, which we use for repentance, literally means U-turn? Because you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it means. When you sin, you're going away from Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you stop, emergency breaks, and what do? You turn back to Him. That's why it's called tawbah. And to finish, how many times have you heard the report? When you do tawbah, who's benefiting? You or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't benefit from your tawbah. Or do you disagree with me? Right? If all the world does tawbah now, does Allah Ta'ala, it doesn't benefit him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, it benefits you. So now, who should get happy? So he goes, well, the one who's doing tawbah, obviously, he should get happy. Guess what? Allah Ta'ala gets happy when you do tawbah. How happy does he get? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't just get happy. He gets pleased to such a degree that humans can't comprehend it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted this in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. He says, when a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repents, his example is like a person who's traveling through a section of the desert. And as he's traveling through the desert, he's got his provisions, his water and his provisions. And he rests under a tree in the desert. As he slumbers, he wakes up, his beast of burden has gone with his provision and his water. So he panics, realizing he can't get to his destination. He can't retrace his steps, because he'll die. He's in the desert. He can't go forward, he can't make it. So he's looking frantically for the beast of burden. He can't find it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he realizes he's going to die. So he gets a shroud. He wraps himself up in the shroud, awaiting death. But then, as he's given up all hope, the camel returns with his provisions. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the man becomes so ecstatic. He says, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are my servant. I am your Lord. He says kufr. But he doesn't mean it. He just can't, he's just so much in awe, in gratitude, he just messes up. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala becomes more pleased than that man when he finds his provisions, when his servant repents. Question, if just don't mention the last part of the hadith. Go to any Muslim, non-Muslim. You say to him, look, how happy is that man? And whatever words they use, they will say something like this. Well, he thought he's dead. You've given him life. So basically, it's like life and death. There can't be any greater ecstasy. You're wrong. There is a greater ecstasy. Then he goes, how can there be a greater ecstasy than that? The person has basically gone off death's row, and he just, you know, he's, how can he be more happier than that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do tawbah. And that's what it's all about. We're here on this earth to please who? Right? We're here on the earth to please our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no greater way to please him than to do the U-turn back to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note, when talking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see that really it's impossible to articulate. You always start skimming the surface, you notice. Because his greatness is such that it's impossible to articulate his greatness. And we're just talking about certain aspects of his grandeur, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sahih Muslim, أَنْتَ كَمَا أَثْنَيْتَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ. You are as you have praised yourself. Think about that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't do it. If anybody could praise his Lord enough, it would be the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he humbly said, in his own dua, you are as you have praised yourself. Meaning, we can't do it. We can't even praise you enough. Imagine. Think about that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Sahih Hadith, if a child is born and it falls into prostration and dies from old age in prostration, he would still think he has not done enough on the day of resurrection. Oh, one report says, he will still think inadequate his praise. So where's our praise compared to that? And that's why religious pride is very destructive. Think about that. Right? We are happy that we're doing good deeds, but we are not proud of the fact that we are better than others. Why? Because you're not better than others. Allah Ta'ala knows who's better than him, who's closest to him. So all I mentioned today was a few of the amazing reports with regard to the greatness of our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mentioning a few of the blessings first and foremost, and then of course talking about a glimpse into the great mercy. Are there any questions? Subhanallah bihamdi subhanak allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Subhanallahi rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa salatu wa salam ala al-asr innas-sabr fi khusr alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihat wa wasbil hafs. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.